Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Are you tired of endlessly searching for work? Applying for jobs, never hearing back? Job openings vanish into thin air? What if there was one connection you could make and that'll link you to dozens of companies that are hiring? What if the connection was a locally owned business ready to help you and they don't charge you? Express Employment Professionals is your one connection. Go to expresspros.com. With endless opportunities, it's time to try something new in your job search. Let Express Employment Professionals help you. Expresspros.com.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful fingersticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take more control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Hey, everyone. This is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Is it win-ish tonight for the Browns or the Steelers? Lewis Riddick, former NFL player, ESPN analyst. He was on the call in the booth Monday night. Steve Levy, they did a great job. Dan Orlovsky, Titans and the Bills. Lewis joins us. He'll be calling West Virginia at Virginia Tech tonight at 7:30 Eastern on the mothership. Lewis, let me start with Browns Steelers. Must win or win-ish game for which team?
Oh, wow. Dan, I think for both teams, it's must win or win-ish for different reasons. Look, I think for Mike Tomlin, we're starting with the Steelers. Look, Mike's never been below 500 in his career, which is just amazing, first and foremost. He's a Hall of Fame-worthy coach just because of his longevity and his consistency. But this may be one of those seasons where he just can't coach his way out of it. We just don't know whether or not, especially on the offensive side of the ball, if it has taken another step back or it's at the same level or a little bit better than next year, because we've only played two games. But this team looks... This is a little bit scary for them because they could be in a very tenuous situation as far as the quarterback situation is concerned. Does Mike want to throw Kenny Pickett in there right now? Does he not? Does he look at the offensive line and go, well, I don't want to subject Kenny to having to be under that kind of pressure for 15 more weeks or 14 more weeks and just kind of and set him back? And then when you're talking about the Browns, I think coming into this season – 1 through 53, many believed, myself included, that just on paper, just when you're looking at critical positions that you know you need to have in order to compete at the high level in the NFL, they have them. They have pass rushers. They acquired a wide receiver. At some point in time, they'll have, you know, good quarterback play. They have good secondary players on the perimeter, even in that safety. They have one of the best offensive lines in football. So really, what's the issue? Well, you know, you lose to the Jets. You give up a lead like you gave up to the Jets and Joe Flacco. And I'm not taking anything away from Joe Flacco because I saw him in the preseason and I saw him at training camp. And he was as confident as ever in their ability to finally not be considered the same old Jets. So I'm not taking anything away from them. But both of these teams for different reasons. One, because the expectations were so high for Cleveland. Two, because for Pittsburgh, Mike's never had a losing season. So, yeah, I think for both of them, this is a critical game.
Do you have a take on a team or a couple of teams where you go, what we've seen is not an aberration? That's how they're going to be. Like the Titans. You got to see them Monday night. Are the Titans an average team? Are they going to be an average team this year?
Yeah, I have a feeling that they possibly could be. And I'll tell you why. You have to be able to produce explosive plays in the NFL. I don't care how good you run the football. And Derrick Henry's a stud. We know that, all right? But you have to be able to produce explosives down the field. You can't always have 10, 12, 13, 14-play drives. It's just too hard in the NFL. You won't score enough points because the law of averages will catch up to you in terms of you making a mistake, turning the football over, whatever it is. And the Titans don't have that. Not having A.J. Brown on this team is a huge, huge, huge loss. It's huge. As nice of a prospect as Treylon Burks is, he's not ready for that spotlight. Nick Westbrook-Ikhina is not that kind of guy. They haven't been able to get Robert Woods going in the kind of role that he has already excelled at when he was with the Rams and when he was with Buffalo before that. Not having A.J. Brown, I mean, that's an issue. That's an issue. And you know what? I don't even know if Derrick Henry is the same Derrick Henry anymore. Their offensive line isn't nearly as strong as you would hope it would be for them to be a run-centric football team because the team that they played against, when you're talking about – okay, after 2 weeks, are there teams that have shown you this is who they are? Buffalo has shown you who they are. This isn't just some hot start that's going to fizzle out. They have shown you who they are. The Von Miller effect in Buffalo is real. It is real. We talked about it extensively Monday. It's real. And I'll tell you, as nice of a coordinator as Brian Daboll is, and as nice of a coach as he is, and by nice, I mean he's good. I've talked to Brian many, many times. He's good. Ken Dorsey, the new OC up there, who's the old quarterback coach, like still coaches quarterbacks and the OC, he is the real deal too, man. And they have taken this organization to another level with the addition of Vaughn, the addition of a physical running game, and the fact this team just feels like it will not be denied. It will not be denied, man. And I think, look, they're heading for that big heavyweight Ollie Frazier showdown with the Chiefs. I mean, it's just going to happen. And it's going to be maybe the most watched game of the year, whenever they play.
Well, you got the Bills and the Dolphins. Where do you stand?
No, I know. Somewhere down the line.
Okay, where do you stand on the Dolphins?
Oh, I love Dan, I've been one of the biggest Tua Tagovailoa cheerleaders in the history of cheerleading. And I really do like what his headspace seems to be right now. And that is a direct reflection of the fact that Mike McDaniel, from day one, has said, I am behind this kid 100%, not in just word, but deed. I'm going to back him publicly. I'm going to back him privately. I'm going to get with Chris Greer, and I'm going to get with ownership and say, we have to support him with better protection on the offensive line, better running backs, and just a plethora, you know, just an absolute war chest of weapons on the perimeter, and they got all that for him. And you see now that he's healthy, and now he's not looking over his shoulder, wondering if Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to come into the game or whether or not, you know, he's going to get sold out in the media and or talked about in a way that says that he was way overdrafted. He all of a sudden now is playing like a kid who looks like he's back at Alabama. Now he's confident. Now he's moving in the pocket, finding wide receivers, playing with great vision, playing with great decision-making accuracy. And I've always liked their defense. Javon Holland, their starting free safety, I think is one of the unsung superstars in the entire NFL. This team is hot. This is a great showdown in week three for them against Buffalo. It's a measuring stick for them. It's a measuring stick for them to see just how far they've come because Buffalo's for real.
If I said you could have a previous quarterback Alabama draft, so moving forward, I'll give you Tua, Jalen Hurts, or Mac Jones, 5-year deal. Same price,
man.
and no, we don't have any offensive weapons. So you're on the clock now.
We don't have any offensive weapons.
No. I mean, I'm not going to define. Wait, you got a solid team. How about I put them all on the Patriots? They have no offensive weapons.
I got this. So you're saying if we're just starting from scratch, I'm going to give you one. Now you build it out around.
Yes.
You want to build around.
Yeah.
I got you.
Yeah.
Look. I wish you would ask me this like 3 weeks from now. Jalen looks like if Jalen has shown tremendous growth, if his throwing ability, pocket throwing ability, is for real and sustainable, combined with how this kid can run the football, and we've already known that. So his dual threat kick, then I probably have to take him.
Wait, because you were in love with Tua. That
I know. I'm saying though that Jalen has like that dual threat capability. We've seen what it does to defenses, and as a defender, I know what it does to you. As far as Tua, look, I mean that's such an unfair question, Dan. But I love it though. It's making my gears grind right now. But yeah, it's only because of look, Jalen is just such a dynamic runner. But man, if he develops pocket presence like he showed against Minnesota. Oh, man. Of all three of them, I think Tua is the one that I think I really do believe that he was born to play this position because I think instinctively he just has it. He may not have, of the three, he may be the least athletically gifted of them all. And that includes Mac, even though many people don't think Mac is a real good athlete, but he's a better athlete than people think. He may be the less gifted of all three of them, but I think instinctively, as far as being built to play the position, he's the one who's got it all. I do believe that.
We're talking to Lewis Riddick, ESPN NFL analyst. He'll be on the call, West Virginia, Virginia Tech tonight. That's on the mothership at 7:30 Eastern. He was also in the Monday night booth for the Titans and the Bills. Packers, Buccaneers.
Mm-hmm. This is look, I think with the Bucs, because of the fact that Mike Evans isn't going to be there, people wonder, and I wonder, just how much does it slow down the explosive component of their passing game? And
would you have suspended Mike Evans for a game?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
I probably would have, just to make sure we can keep a lid on those kind of outbursts happening. And because of the history between him and Marshawn, regardless of who you think is to blame for that always escalating, but those two go at it every freaking game. I mean, they go at it.
But can you be mad at him?
No.
Because he's protecting Brady in a situation like that.
I'm not mad at him. And I get why guys do that. It's not like Tom was in some kind of imminent danger. But I get it. But I get that's how people react towards their quarterbacks. I get it. But I think with Mike just needs to understand that, you know, because of how volatile and how combustible his dealings with Marshawn Lattimore have been, he needed to let somebody else go do that. Or he just needed to be the one to not have it escalate to that degree. Because, look, I think Mike Evans is one of the top three or four wide receivers in the NFL. We just don't talk about him that way. But he is. And he's too valuable to that football team. But, you know, I think Tampa Bay is uniquely situated to be able to handle him maybe not being there for a game because of how physical their running game looks, how good Leonard Fournette has looked, and how dominant that defense looks. And with Green Bay, I mean, Green Bay could really be up against it against the Tampa Bay defense. They really could. Although Aaron Jones looked fantastic against the Bears.
I know.
And Aaron is starting to find his, you know, he's gonna get the young guys coming around. And their defense is stocked. I mean, their defense should be playing even better than it is. I mean, their defense is stocked with players. I'll go with Tampa in this game because it is at home for them and because of how good their defense is playing right now.
All right, I'll leave you with this. Are the Niners in a better place this week than they were last week?
We know what place they are in simply because we've seen this story before. We know what Jimmy brings, and we know how efficient Jimmy can be. And what's funny about Garoppolo then is this: when Jimmy was playing, it was all about the Niners are never going to be able to get over the hump because Jimmy holds them back. When Jimmy wasn't playing, the Niners are never even going to get there to even disappoint about getting over the hump because Trey Lance isn't good enough. So we went from crushing Jimmy Garoppolo to now it was all about they need to put him in there right now because Trey isn't ready.
All right, are they a better team? Are they a better team?
Now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
They probably are. They probably are.
Okay.
They probably are. But I think I hate what has happened to Trey. I hate it. I love the kid. I have been a big supporter. I do think he will take them to another level because of his skills. But I'd be lying if I didn't say I was worried a little bit about what his development is going to look like now because of this injury. Because I know how impatient people can get with quarterbacks, and next thing you know, they're on to the next thing.
Yeah.
They're on to the next, latest, greatest, hottest prospect. I just hope that he doesn't become a victim of that kind of mentality.
Who's the best quarterback you have an interception from?
Drew Bledsoe. In the playoffs. 1995, January 1st, at about 3 in the afternoon.
I remember it. Yeah, I guess so. Do you have the football?
I sure do.
Would you get Bledsoe to sign that? Like, that, is that unprofessional?
I never even thought about that. No, I probably wouldn't. I probably wouldn't, man.
Now, I have his information. I could get a hold of him.
He was a rookie at the time. It really wasn't. Because I think what happened was he was trying to throw the ball to Ben Coates over the middle. It was a little bit high, and Ben Coates got the absolute crap knocked out of him by one of our safeties, Eric Turner. And so it really wasn't Drew's fault. I was just in the right place at the right time. It was all good, though. But it was good. It was a great day in Cleveland sports history, though. We beat the heck out of the Patriots that day.
Great to talk to you. Have fun tonight.
I will.
Thank you, buddy.
Of course.
That's Lewis Riddick.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Well, it's halftime and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
My first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be
That's
my
game,
bro.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. Like, a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app. Like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Ime Udoka, who is the Celtics head coach. This story broke about 25 minutes ago, or at least more of this. Adrian Wojnarowski says no final decision has been made on the length of a suspension, but internal discussions have included scenarios that would keep Udoka out for the entirety of the 2022-23 season, sources told ESPN. The suspension is because of a violation of organizational guidelines. Let's bring in Ramona Shelburne, ESPN NBA insider, senior writer. I know you were going to come on and talk about the Phoenix Suns situation. Let me ask you about what's going on with Boston Celtics here. A possible year-long suspension. This came out of nowhere, Ramona.
Ooh. Yeah, it's been behind the scenes, and we've, you know, last night it came out, and it was, I'm kind of tempering my reaction until we get all the details here, but it's obviously really sad. I mean, this is Ime Udoka is one of the great young coaches in the NBA, and took the Boston Celtics to the NBA finals last year. So from what I understand about this, Dan, it is a really serious situation. We wouldn't be having this discussion, and they wouldn't be having these discussions if it wasn't. But whenever something is as in this situation, I think we need to reserve our judgment on all this until everything comes out, until all the facts come out. And on this one, I'm not sure how much all the facts will come out. I think there'll be some, but this is being held very close to the vest, and it has been for a little while there in Boston until it's finally come out.
I'm just trying to understand what would warrant a season long suspension if he said it was a consensual relationship. But,
in the workplace, you have power dynamics, right? I mean, there's,
Understand being disciplined because of that, that he's somebody's superior, but for a year.
Right. Same for me. That's that when I first heard about this, that was my thought too. It's like, that felt very severe. Now we had a similar, situation in Minnesota a couple of years ago with Gerson Rosas, who is the president of basketball operations, who had a consensual relationship with a team employee. And both Rosas and the team employee ended up leaving the organization. And it was sort of of their own volition, but it was against team policy and against organizational rules. And so we found out some of the details, but again, there was a, because both of them stepped away, you only got some of the story. And I'm wondering how this is going to play out in the next couple of days, but it's a messy, dicey situation. And obviously very serious to warrant a year long suspension. I mean, that's a long punishment for a bright young coach who had just had so much success last year.
If I told you a week ago, Robert Sarver will be selling the Phoenix Suns, Phoenix Mercury, now, what would your reaction have been?
I would have given you a nice nod. I don't think I expected him to sell this quickly. I thought he would eventually sell the whole time, because whether it was going to happen now or 6 months from now or closer to when that year-long suspension was going to be up, I just didn't see a path for him to continue owning and operating an NBA franchise after what was in that report. If you really sat down and read the 43 pages, which Chris Paul did, which Devin Booker did, DeAndre Ayton, all the star players in that organization, people actually read the report, which I think is why there's been so much of a somewhat of a delayed reaction to it. So when I covered the Donald Sterling situation in 2014, one of the issues was, you know, it was tape. We all heard the tape. And you have this very gut level, visceral reaction to a tape. And everybody hears the same thing. This is different in that a lot of the reporting is off the record or sourced. There's not names on these situations. There's no tape for you to listen to. And you actually have to read 43 pages of report, some of which the details are not all, they don't go all the way with the details because they're protecting the people whose stories they are. They're protecting their identities. And so there was a delayed reaction on this of the outcry and the outrage in the time that it took for people to read a report. And I remember thinking to myself, like, that's interesting. You know, at this age, like, how often do you read a full book? How often do people read more than what they see in a tweet or a short article? I actually give people a lot of credit for sitting down and going through that report, and digesting it in that time frame.
It feels like there was pressure applied somewhere. I don't know.
Yeah.
Who applied the pressure?
So the pressure was applied publicly by the players. You heard what Steph Curry, you heard what Chris Paul said, what LeBron James tweeted, what Draymond Green said. But it was also applied privately. You know, behind the scenes, there was a lot said and done by Adam with Robert Sarver. And then, frankly, the sponsors. You know, PayPal is the only sponsor that came forward publicly to denounce what happened with Robert Sarver, saying they didn't association with the Suns afterwards. But there were, from what I understand, a lot of sponsors that were joining the line, and the dominoes were going to start falling pretty soon. And I think yesterday, in Robert announcing he was going to sell the team, was probably about the last time he would have been able to make that announcement or decision really of his own volition on his own time frame, because the walls were going to start closing in.
Yeah, I thought that when the commissioner said, hey, I can't do anything, mm-hmm. can he start the process of asking the other owners or governors about that? That's what I wonder. Mm-hmm. Hey, I can't take away his team.
Yeah.
But, Roger Goodell did this when, hey, I can't mm-hmm. take away Daniel Snyder. Well, can you start the process? And I wondered if if Adam Silver was going to start the process with the other owners.
I think that was on the table. I don't think that had started, Dan. I don't think that process. But there's one pretty big difference in that in the NFL, when the report came out on the Commanders and Dan Snyder and all that, that report wasn't released in full. It wasn't really, we weren't given a lot of details. The NBA report is not the full report, of course. There was 320 witnesses who were interviewed, and it was distilled down into 43 pages, but there were still 43 pages. And they were pretty specific on certain incidents. And I thought there was, in a way, that was the process, right? That is starting the process. Like you drop that into the water and give people time to read it and digest it. And I think the longer that was in the public consciousness, the more people read it, the more, and I have to give a lot of credit to the players who talked about it publicly, because they did it before they were asked, right? LeBron James wasn't asked his opinion. He just gave it on Twitter, and neither was Chris Paul. But they were specific and they were public in what they called for. And I just don't, there wasn't going to be a path for Robert Sarver to keep owning the team. He was going to fight. He fought real hard behind the scenes to keep owning the team. But once the sponsors started pulling out and or were about to start pulling out in mass, that's when I think things really changed for him and for the league. And that they ended up in a place where, and let's be real about it, if you're the other owners in the NBA, in Congress, when they vote on something, it's all public, right? It's on C-SPAN and you see who votes on everything and you have a record. In the NBA, those votes are supposed to be private, but you and I both know that every vote would have leaked. We would have found out who voted for what. And, if they had voted for Robert Sarver to stay in the league, you'd have to answer for that. If you'd voted against Robert Sarver, you'd have to answer for that. It was a vote no one really wanted to take or make. And I think, and this is how these things usually go, Robert Sarver became very bad for business, right? For the NBA business and for the Suns business. And that's why we saw him voluntarily decide to sell. Now, he's going to do a lot of business on this sale, man. he's gonna bought the team for about $400 million, and he's gonna, I think he'll get my just in my conversations, I think it'll go for above $3 billion.
$3 billion.
That's a lot of money.
Wow.
I mean, so there's a lot of debate over that right now, but we have a few guidelines, which is they were valued when there was a Dyal Capital, which is a hedge fund, invested in them last summer, and in 2021, and it was a $1.55 billion valuation for a minority share. Okay, so that's not control. This would be buying the team with full control. Mm-hmm. And so that's worth a lot more than 1.55. That was also a year ago, and now we're coming up on a new CBA, new TV rights deal. The NBA is a whole lot more valuable than it was even a year ago. It's recovered from the pandemic. All the viewership and rights are up. I think this could be an incredible number when this finally goes through.
Potential owners. Seems like you got some guys who certainly have the money.
Yeah.
What are you hearing?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's still really early. And the important thing to remember here is Sarver has control of the sale. I mean, when Shelly Sterling sold the Clippers, she got to decide. She said, I want to sell it to one guy. I want to sell it to a group.
The league doesn't have any say in this?
Yeah, they'll approve. You know, they'll approve at the end, but it's his team. It's his franchise. He gets to decide. It's like, if I sell my house, I get to choose the buyer, right? And so there is some influence they'll get to have, but he still has quite a bit of leverage here. You know, that's important because when we look at potential owners from within, like let's say the minority partners, people who own smaller stakes in the Suns now, you know, would he sell to one of his co-owners now, or is it going to come from the outside? My understanding is that most likely going to come from the outside. And maybe the relationship with Sarver might matter here. Generally speaking, when it comes down to it, highest bidder wins, right? But there's going to be a lot of interest here. I've already heard names like Jeff Bezos, Bob Iger, who used to run Disney, you know, Lorraine Jobs, Larry Ellison. These are names that have been out there. The estate of Sheldon Adelson. There's a lot of interest in this. And plus, you know, I think somebody told me yesterday, always think about who own minority shares in NBA teams right now. Because a lot of times owners, it's like you join an ownership group in one city, and then a couple years later, you get, you know, enough money, you can put a group together yourself. And so those are a lot of candidates we haven't even thought about yet. But there'll be a lot of interest in the Suns because it's a great market. Phoenix, you know, you go to Scottsdale all the time, right? Great market, great team. And it's a good time for the NBA with the TV rights deal and the new CBA coming up.
Thanks for joining us, Ramona. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Dan.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup. Sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests, and in tournaments, to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18, my first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to do my game.
That's my game.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. Like, a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app. Like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
One of our favorite guests, Joey Votto, the Reds first baseman, six-time All-Star, won the MVP back in 2010, and now he's a fan. I mean, not a fan of this show. I'm just talking about he was a fan at the ballpark. He's out with shoulder surgery. You were trending on Twitter there, Joey. How was this planned, that you were going to go and be a fan and watch the game?
Hi, Dan.
Hi, Joey.
I am a fan of your show. It all came about. I've thrown a Pittsburgh Pirates Roberto Clemente jersey when I was accepting the nomination for the Cincinnati Reds. And I felt guilt. I felt guilt that I had a Pirates jersey on. So I was like, I got to take this jersey off. It's the right thing to do to wear the jersey. But I needed to give it to a fan. So I was like, all right, I've never been in the stands before. I'm going to head up. We're going to give the Clemente jersey to a young fan. I'm going to sign. I had a Reds 21 also. I'm allowed to wear 21 because I'm a Clemente nominee. I signed that one. I'm going to go give it to a fan. So I head upstairs and I go to the entryway, and I'd always like imagined, hoped that one day I would be able to interact with the fans kind of during my career, but I'm playing and I'm injured right now. So I had the opportunity. So I head up to the front gates, the security. I walk outside and there's a little one there, and I give her the Clemente jersey and she was appreciative. And then I cross paths with another Reds fan and I give my jersey too. And so I'm there. I start taking pictures, start signing autographs. And then I just decide, this feels okay. This feels safe. People are reacting well. I'm going to keep going. So I've never been to the 500 section before. I head upstairs. I go to the 500 section. What a view. I've never seen a Reds game before. I've never interacted with the Reds fans mid-game. I get down there. I go behind home plate. I go into the right field bleachers, left field bleachers, walk the concourse. You know, the reactions I got made it worthwhile. So it just all came so quickly.
But did you get people who, well, the reactions were what? Because I'm going to guess they're like, you kind of look like Joey Votto, but you can't be Joey Votto.
Lots of that. There was a lot of Red Sox fans. And most of them looked at me and were like, dude, show me your ticket. What is this, even your seat? But the Reds fans were excited. And, you know, I got a lot of that. You look like Joey. And then when eventually I think there was like message around the stadium, maybe at about the halfway point when I hit the right field bleachers, for sure, when I hit the right field bleachers, which was like mark number three, that's when people knew, oh, Joey's in the stands right now. And they were so welcoming, so excited to see me. So, and I was excited to see them.
It was cool. I mean, it just was, because you're able to, you don't get to see, it's almost like an actor who gets to go on the other side of the camera and they get to see what the director sees. You get to sit there with the fans to see what that is like. And as you said, you'd never done that before. But growing up, how many baseball games did you go to?
Few, you know, from 13, 14 on, baseball kept me busy. I remember, you know, maybe a couple here and there, but not many games. And that was the appeal to me. You know, I love going to a baseball game, and I'm in the middle of my career. And every day when I'm playing, I'm in a completely different frame of mind. You know, I'm locked in on my work, not my teammates. I wanted to support my teammates, but they're doing their own work. I'm locked in on how well the team plays and how well I play over and over and over. And you become robotic when it comes to your interactions with the fans, signing autographs, smiling for a picture, signing autographs, smiling for a picture over and over and over and over. And you can't let your guard down, because you have to save that stamina. You have to save that energy for performance that night, recovery at night, game the next day, over and over and over. And so it's important to me to connect with the fans, but it's also important to protect my energy. Whereas yesterday, I was able to completely let my guard down and connect with the fans. The only thing I had to do was protect my shoulder. But it was such a different experience, because I'm still in the heart of my career. I think at this stage, I'm recognizing that it's going to end at some point. I'm not sure when, but you know, I just turned 39, and I'm much, much closer to the end than I am even the middle or beginning. And so to me, I wanted another thing too. I want the fans to know who I am. Like, it's a little different when you're a former player and you enter the crowd. You can sit in your seat and watch the game, and they're like, we didn't get to see you play. Whereas I'm walking around and there's Votto jerseys. You know, there's people, you know, that watched me play just a month ago in live. So I don't know why, it just appealed to me. And just watching a game, I got to sit with a couple fans for a bit, take in the angle. It was just it was a really charming experience for me.
We're talking to Joey Votto, second consecutive year. He's the Reds nominee for baseball's prestigious Roberto Clemente Award. A couple of analysts at ESPN, you know, very sharp baseball guys, said that what Aaron Judge is doing could be the greatest baseball season of all time. What do you think?
I think it's a very fair statement. I do think, without getting too deep into the weeds with the doping stretch, I think that was a much different era. I also think post-integration, I think that matters. There's too many big wins above replacement seasons, too many extreme seasons in the earlier part of the 20th century. You know, it's nice that you put up a 12-win season or hit 400, but you did it against a bunch of white players that, you know, weren't competing against the best of the world. Whereas, you know, the two American League candidates are a Japanese player and a 6'9", you know, black athlete in Aaron Judge. And so to me, we have the very best version of the game right now with the best athletes, and Aaron Judge is completely dominating us. 60 home runs, running for the Triple Crown, fantastic defender. He's the leader of the Yankees, and just purely offensively, you know, measurably, he's in that upper tier of offensive 1 year performances. And I think it's very fair to say that he is having the greatest offensive season of all time.
I had David Cohn on yesterday, former pitcher, works for the Yankees, and he said that the baseballs they're not lively anymore. Mm-hmm. So are they? I'm trying to understand if baseball wants more home runs, because the analytics say go up there and swing for home runs. That's what you do offensively. But baseball bought Rawlings. They bought the baseballs. And now are they less lively? Are they deadened? Like, your assessment.
Well, in game, yes, they are. They don't fly as well. Just recently I was looking at the home run statistics, and I think the last 5 years or so, the average was somewhere around 1.2, 1.3 home runs per game. 1.2, 1.3, lots of big home run seasons over the last 5-6 years since 2015. This year, big dip. And I think that is what makes Aaron's season, to, you know, call back his season, special. But the experience of being a hitter now, when you strike a ball, kind of miss strike a ball, and it's getting caught at the wall, that forces you as a hitter to adjust, because we're not going to just keep going out there and coming up short. We're going to lower our trajectory to more guarantee a hit, a line drive, double or single. Maybe we'll move closer to the corners, either foul pull, meaning we'll try to pull the ball, but with the shorter part of the field. Yeah. So there's many different ways you can go about it. Maybe more bunting, more hitting and run. I think there's a chance that, and another thing I forgot to mention, more putting the ball in play. You know, you swing and take a big swing attempting a home run, it comes with risk, swing and miss risk. Whereas if you attempt to control the barrel and make contact in play, your home run likelihood goes down, but singles, doubles, all the other options.
But
are
Judge
available.
Is hitting 60 yeah. home runs, and baseball doesn't want you to hit 60 home runs. That's incredible.
He's having a special season for a
okay.
reason.
Okay, if he hits 62, who is the single season all time home run champ?
So for me, Barry Bonds was my favorite hitter. But I can't ignore all the facts. I will say I'm rooting hard for Aaron Judge to hit as many home runs as possible. Dan, this is the worst question to ask me right now, because I'm still in uniform. And I think maybe post career I'll be able to answer that question.
Okay.
But
no, I
in
get
career
it.
It's just too difficult to answer.
No, I get it. And you're not retiring. By the way, guess Joey Votto is one of two active players with at least 2,000 hits, 1,300 walks, and also second among all active players on base percentage. Do you know the only other active player who has a better on base percentage than you, Joey Votto?
Mike Trout?
Yeah. Yeah. Just barely.
Yeah.
That's not bad. Anytime you're mentioned with Mike Trout, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's good. And you thought he wasn't a Hall of Famer last time.
Well, he's not yet.
Yeah, but it was not like, it wasn't like who's a Hall of Famer right now when we were talking about hypothetical Hall of Famers.
No, he's going to be a Hall of Famer.
But you didn't think that at the time. You were having your doubts.
When did I say I had my doubts about Mike Trout being a Hall of Famer?
You know, last time I came on, you said, hey, it's so good to have Joey for the first time. I'd been on two times before, Dan Patrick. And now you're forgetting the Mike Trout conversation.
Yeah, but those were forgettable appearances.
You're right. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah, we forgot about those. Those weren't good.
Yeah, you're right. I'm on with Max Kellerman next, so I'll be sure to forget this.
I like that. By the way, so there's two active players with at least 2,000 hits, 1,300 walks. The other one, Albert Pujols.
Oh, yeah. Big year for Albert Pujols.
Well, okay. 62 home runs for Judge, 700 home runs for Pujols. You get to pick one more important this year.
Well, this year it's the home run record, but all time it's clearly Albert. I mean, there's four, he'll be the fourth with Willie, Babe, and Barry. Oh, excuse me, the fifth with Hank Aaron, obviously. But for me, I'm in the National League Central, and I played against Albert at his best, and I, you know, watched him leave and watched him come back, and the excitement, the support the Cardinals fans give him, and also the full circle nature of his experience in St. Louis. I love it. I'm so happy for him.
I think that what you did going in the stands should be something that other players do. If you're on the DL, as long as you can walk around and you not get injured, and you know nobody's going to pat you on the shoulder and say, hey, great job, great senior, or anything like that. What do you think? Other players, if you're on the DL, that you have to have one night where you go and visit the – whoa, why, you're cringing. Why?
Well, no, not have to.
Well, no, we would encourage you. We're going to call it doing a vado.
I think that it was something I was excited to do, and I felt equipped to do. And we recently got done with a collective bargaining agreement, and we did not negotiate that into the deal. Yeah. So our players, our union,
come on.
We don't have to do anything.
We'll call it.
We've already gotten enough.
Vado tearing. You know, instead
tearing?
Of volunteering, it's vado tearing. Hey.
I like that.
Okay. I mean, that's off the cuff, is what that was. Yep. I mean, yep. off speed, off the rotator cuff. Off the
perfect.
Rotator, yeah. Hey, great to talk to you. Is this the first time we've had Joey on?
First time.
Yeah, man. Great appearance.
Yeah, are we even recording right now?
No. This is live.
No, this is a practice session. Live?
This is live. You were live.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
I had some things that for sure would have got me canceled had I said them. Oh, my goodness.
Do you think I could get a pitch by you right now?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
I've got one arm.
I got one arm, too.
Was that a play on words? I've got one arm too.
Well, good luck with Max Kellerman. I'm sure that'll be as fun as.
I'm not going on with Max Kellerman.
Oh, now you're refusing to.
By the way, what was the whole thing with him saying Albert's thing was.
Yeah.
What was that all about?
Well. He said, I want what he's having, insinuating that Albert could be spiced up there a little bit there. It's called hot takes. If you ever get in the media, don't fall prey to saying something just to get a hot take, to get reaction or get likes.
I don't think that was a hot take. I think he meant it.
Oh, yeah, I do, too. But yeah. he had to walk it back.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Albert, I don't know. I'm not Albert, but. Watching him in Anaheim and watching him now in St. Louis, he's paced his schedule. He doesn't play as much. Yeah. He's matched up against left hand. I'll say this one more thing before I go. Confidence and rhythm are like important for a hitter. And in July, he was hitting .190 with no damage. I think sub 400 slug, maybe even right around 300 slug, not a strong stretch, but there's something about when you, time a good matchup and then you'd repeat it and then you start believing that that's a reality. And I think he did that with left-handed pitching for a bit. And then when you hit this rhythm, all of a sudden you can start doing it, taking chances, start doing it against different, because he's starting to do it against right-handed pitching. You start doing it against both sides, taking chances. And I think he's so strong naturally. So
would you rather witness 700 be at that game? Or 62 for Judge?
Yeah, probably 700 just because of my relationship with the Cardinals fans. You know, my lawyer, accountant, financial advisor, all there. You know, they pour the wine and we, you know, chop up. The St. Louis Cardinals fans are hard on me at times. You know,
The Cardinals fans aren't hard on anybody, Joe.
Oh, they are. Sneaky, sneaky, sneaky they are. Yep.
Well... great to have you on. Good luck with the recovery.
I appreciate it.
And I don't know. What do you think? Should we have Joey on maybe again sometime?
Absolutely.
Tomorrow.
Oh, nice. I'll see you guys next time for the first time.
Okay. Thank you, Joey.
See you guys.
That's Joey Votto.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom. Dexcom.com/compatibility.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. Miller Lite. Great taste, less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. And as always, please celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Hey, guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.